All right, and now we're moving on to our next quiz, which is limericks. We're going to have some limericks read, and you, the audience, you are going to guess the missing last word, and I'll give you a hint. There's a rhyming here, so just think about, listen to it carefully. Jane, do you want to do the honors of reading the first limerick?
Okay. There once was a lawyer named Pete, who prided himself on his tweet that disparaged a tenant he once represented. Instead of posting, he should have hit. There
yes.
You go. Yay, y'all.
And those of you who answered correctly, you have won Skip Watson's voice on your answering machine. All right. Do you have another one for us?
Okay. Jen? A lawyer who wanted more news asked clients to post some reviews. She offered to pay and dictate what to say. The DRs, the lawyer did. Someone said it.
I heard abuse.
Abuse. You see, it rhymes with news and reviews.
Yeah.
Let me give a little explanation on that one. So Ethics Opinion 685 addresses whether and how lawyers may encourage their current or former clients to leave positive online reviews.
You mean I can't have just a friend of mine who's not a client give a fake review?
You cannot. Here's what Opinion 685 said. A lawyer has a duty not to make or sponsor any communications that are false or misleading. So that would include your friend saying, I'm a former client. And, oh, that Jane was great. Heidi was great. Or a true former client getting them to say, oh, the representation was awesome when in fact it was lousy. It's okay to ask them, but you can't have them do anything that is false or misleading. Now, the lawyer doesn't have to monitor social media to hunt for if there are errors that were legitimately posted by a former client. But if they solicit them, they have an obligation to make sure that there's nothing false or misleading.
All right. So now we're going to move on to our second set of Tell Truth from Fiction. Same format as before. Each of our panelists is going to read one story, and then I'm going to ask the audience which one of the three stories you all think is the one true one. Mia, why don't you start us off?
Okay, so in this story, a lawyer was hired by a client to help sign and ink a settlement agreement that the client had already reached with her prior employer. So the lawyer charged a contingency fee of 35%, essentially for just helping the client sign the document. And the court found that that contingency fee was an unconscionable fee.
And Jane, do you have a story for us?
In a malpractice action, a former client prevailed against a lawyer who had agreed to represent her in a divorce proceeding on an hourly basis. The divorce was eventually settled, with the client receiving $50 million from a marital estate valued at $200 million. The lawyer later accepted shares of stock valued at $4.8 million under an alleged oral agreement for a contingency fee on top of the hourly rate. The client then sued to get the stock back. In the malpractice action, the trial court directed a verdict that the oral contingency fee was unconscionable. But in the later Commission for Lawyer Discipline proceeding, the trial court's unconscionability ruling was not binding, and the lawyer got off scot-free.
And Lori, do you have a story for us?
I have another family law case. Hmm. An attorney had an engagement letter that had a non-refundable retainer provision. It specifically said you will pay a $15,000 non-refundable retainer, and that this retainer is not going to be returned even if the case is discontinued or it settles. The client signs it, pays the $15,000 retainer. The attorney puts the retainer in his operating account. Ultimately, the client fires the attorney and asks for the money to be returned. It turns out the lawyer had only billed 11 hours on the case but refused to return any of the retainer. The client files a complaint with the state bar. Boda ruled that the attorney had to refund the money. The courts, however, reversed BODA and said it said non-refundable retainer, and that's what that means. The attorney could keep the money.
All right, audience, it's your turn. How many of you think that Mia's story, I want 35% of your settlement, the one that you already had negotiated and had in place? How many of you think that one was true? Got some hands going there. How many of you think Jane's oral contingency fee stock shakedown is the true story? A little bit more. And how many of you think Lori's what part of non-refundable don't you understand story is the true one? I think we're evenly split on this one. The big reveal.
Mine was true. So disciplinary rule 1.04A says that a fee is unconscionable if a competent lawyer could not form a reasonable belief that the fee is reasonable. So the court looked to the fact that contingency fees are designed for the lawyer and the client to share in the risk of the unknown outcome in the case. Here, we knew the outcome because the settlement agreement was already negotiated, and basically the lawyer was just there to make sure that everybody signed. So the court found that that was unconscionable to charge a 35% fee for simply sitting there and making sure everybody signed the paperwork.
All right. And I've got to ask because